Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We are now arriving to the last chapter of the book of Galatians. So I'd like you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and I would like today to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. In the will of the Lord, we'll conclude with this book of Galatians next Saturday, next Shabbat meeting, with the final remarks, the final portions of the book of Galatians. So please turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, and we are going to read the first 10 verses of this final chapter. Notice, by the way, that Galatians 6 begin with the word brethren, achim in Hebrew, and it ends with the word brethren, achim, in verse 18. And you can see how the apostle Shaul, Paul, loved his brethren, whether they were Jewish or whether they were non-Jewish. He loved his brethren because they were people that belonged to Yeshua, the Messiah. They were forgiven, saved people, but they had many needs, like you and I have today. So we read in verse 1, Paul is saying, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted or tested. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Mashiach, the law of Christ, the law of Messiah. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I'm going to stop here with the 10th verse of Galatians chapter 6. We have covered now much of the material that we have in the letter that Shaul, that Paul, wrote to the Galatians. You remember that every time that we give that introduction to the new section, we are reminded that the reason that the Apostle Paul wrote this whole letter is because false teachings were brought into Galatia. Some came down from Jerusalem and have taught the disciples that they are really not saved unless they are being circumcised and keep the law of Moses. Paul was very unhappy with this false teaching. Why? Because while circumcision were given to our Jewish people, Israel, as the covenant that God made with the people of Israel, it was never given in order to make Israel saved. And therefore it was not given to the Gentile world, and it doesn't save anyone, because circumcision has nothing to do with salvation. It simply has to do with the covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 and Abraham's descendants. But can you imagine to come down and to say to the Gentiles, to the Goyim who became believers in Yeshua, to tell them, listen, you are not really saved because you haven't been circumcised. And you haven't fulfilled the law of Moses, haven't kept it. And we have also learned that the law of Moses was never given to Israel in order to save Israel. The law of Moses was given to Israel after they were already redeemed and they came out of the land of Egypt. They were already under the blood of the Lamb. But it was given to them as a code to live godly, to help them along in their godly conduct, in contrast to the rest of the Gentile world. But the law was never given in order to save Israel. It was given to show the holiness of God, which become a mirror to the sinfulness that exists in the human nature, whether Jewish or whether Gentile, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Paul had gone throughout the whole five chapters to show to Israel, first of all, his personal and individual testimony, how he got saved, how he received forgiveness. And then he gave them doctrinal teaching in chapter 3 and chapter 4 to show them how the fact that in biblical days, the reason that the law was given to Israel is to lead them to the Mashiach, that in the fullness of time, the Messiah finally came. And he is the one who is the only one who fulfilled Torah Moshe, the law of Moses. While all Israel failed, all humanity failed, there was one man that kept the law fully. And he is the one that was qualified to become the Mashiach, the Messiah. But then in chapter 5 and chapter 6, that this is the last portion that we are dealing with, the Apostle Paul is showing now to the Galatians that they have two natures. If they have been born again, if they have been liberated for the judgment that they deserved because of the holiness of the law and because of the sinfulness of men, now they need to live in a liberated life. And you remember chapter 5, stand therefore, verse 1, in the liberty wherewith the Messiah has made us free. Not the law has made us free, but the Mashiach have made us free. Stand therefore upon the ground, upon the finished work of Yeshua the Messiah. Don't stand upon any human merit or anything which you could not stand upon, but stand upon the liberty which you have because Yeshua the Messiah have made us free. And we have learned in chapter 5 that the Galatians had their own problems. We have learned it very quickly that the Galatians they walked in the flesh instead of walking in the spirit. And if you remember, we went to this chart and we showed you the two natures that everyone who is a believer possess. The old nature, the flesh, the outward man, the old man, the natural man, the human nature, in contrast to the new nature, the spirit, the inward man, the new man, the spiritual man, the divine nature. And we have learned from these chapter 5 that we believers, all of us, have two natures. The old nature is the Adamic nature which we receive from our mother and father when we were born. The new nature is the divine nature that we received when we became believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. But because God did not take us straight to heaven and left us here on earth like He left the Galatians, we are struggling every day, and that's why in Galatians 5 and verse 16, He said to them, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And what happened, beloved brothers and sisters, we struggle with it like the Galatian every day. You probably struggle, and I probably struggle with it even this morning. The new nature says, read the Bible. The old nature says, I don't need to do so. The new nature says, why don't you give thanks to God? You're starting a new day. The old nature says, never mind. The new nature says, come to the meeting. If not here, any place else, listen to the word of God. The old nature says, I don't need to be at meetings to read the scripture. I can do it my way. I'm going to do my own thing. The new nature says, honor God in your life. The old nature says, honor yourself. Get your own will. I did it my way. I'm going to do my own thing. The struggle that we are experiencing every day in our lives as believers. We experience this even this morning, I'm confident, as we woke up this morning. And now, what when we arrive to chapter 6, just before he closes the whole book of Galatians, he's now, Paul, that is, he wants to help the Galatians to learn how to really live the life of the child of God in relationship to one another. Apparently, they had their own problems, like you and I have our own problem. There are conflict between brethren. There are conflict between the people of God. How do we relate to each other? We always have, seems to be having issues. It started 2,000 years ago in the days of the Galatians, and it doesn't stop already 2,000 years later. That's why churches and groups of believers are divided. Different doctrine, different practices, different relationship one to another. And we find ourselves not living in the light of the Holy Spirit of God, in the light of the new nature. Instead of it, we want to get our own way, and I'm going to do my things, and I'm not going to listen to anything. I am the captain of my ship. I am the sailor. I'm the one who's going to lead, fly my airplane. I do it my way, rather than to do it in the ways of the Lord. And we are struggling with it, and now in the sixth chapter, it is very interesting, because now Paul lead them into the necessity to know how to live among the brothers and sisters in the region of Galatia. Now you notice, brothers and sisters, because they were already broken because of the many problems that they had, the question was how they will heal the assembly. How will they heal the brothers and sisters in the region of Galatia? Because apparently there were already problems. If you remember, we read it already in the earlier passage of chapter 5, that he said to them, you know, what happened is that you end up having the works of the flesh. These all kind of things that are wrong among the brothers and sisters in Galatia instead of the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. You could see that they were biting one another, they had problems, and how the Apostle Paul wanted to bring healing in the midst of the assembly, in the midst of the congregation. Let me just remind you for a moment, if you turn to chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, you can see that the Galatians removed themselves unto another gospel. Notice chapter 1 verse 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of the Messiah unto another gospel. The Galatians move from the true gospel to another gospel. Look at chapter 2 and verse 4. They lost their spiritual liberty. Chapter 2 and verse 4. That because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in the Messiah Yeshua, that they might bring us into bondage. They, in a sense, lost their spiritual liberty and they went under bondage. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. They were bewitched by some. It says in chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? They have departed from the truth. They were bewitched by false teachers and false teaching. In chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, they turned back to the weak and beggarly elements, to the ABC, instead of progressing spiritually. Notice chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. It says there in verse 9, he said, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" And you notice in chapter 5 and verse 15 and 16, they were biting one another. Notice verse 15, it says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." In other words, their condition was so sad in Galatia that they needed healing. And healing and restoration come from walking in the Spirit rather than walking in the flesh. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this. If you want ever to serve the Lord, and if you want ever to do something for the benefit of believers, you and I, all of us, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit rather than to walk after the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. We will never be able to help any brother or any sister spiritually by acting in the flesh, by doing things and demanding things that are not honoring unto the Lord, forcing upon one another things that do not help us spiritually. And so in chapter 6, that's where we are. In chapter 6, the Apostle Paul now charging the Galatians to walk in the Spirit and not to allow themselves to walk in the flesh. And he's telling them how to do so. How in a practical way we have to care for the body of Messiah. And you notice now in these 10 verses that I read, there are two important thoughts that we have here in Galatians 6 verses 1 to 10. First of all is the need to bear one another burden, verses 1 to 5. Secondly, in verses 6 to 10, there is a need to share blessing with one another in order to heal and restore and bless the people of God and encourage them spiritually. And Paul deals with this in a very practical way. You notice what he says in verse 1, he began and he says, listen. Notice what he says. He says, brethren, wonderful. I always love that statement by Paul. He's calling them Achim. They were Gentiles, most of them. They were not Jewish brethren of Paul, who was Jewish. But they were brethren in Mashiach. They were brethren in Messiah. Paul, as far as he's concerned, he knew that they will be with him forever in eternity when Yeshua the Messiah comes. Because salvation and forgiveness and eternal life only come on a basis of faith in the Messiah. Jewish or non-Jewish, we must believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he called them brethren, Achim. And now he's saying to them in verse 1, he says, listen, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted or tested. You notice what he's saying. He doesn't say that believers now will never fail or never fall into sin. We learn very quickly that even though we are believers, we have these two natures, we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelt in us, we have a new nature, a divine nature, but apparently there is a possibility for a believer to fall into sin. We know it in our life every day, we are struggling with that. In fact, we are told in Scripture that if we say that we have not sin in us, we are liars. And the truth is not in us. So Paul is saying, listen, there may be a possibility that you brethren among yourselves, Galatians, there is a brother or there is a sister who are overtaken in a fault. And that thought here for a fault here, when you have this expression here fault, it's coming from the thought of the fact that there is an offense, or there is a sin that came up. It's not necessarily willful, but sin rises within us, situation comes, we fail. Because, as we mentioned, chapter 5, there is the works of the flesh, which are, and we have here the list of chapter 5, 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murderous, and drunkenness, and reviling, and reveling. You know, we can see that there is a list of the works of the flesh that we are capable to fall into. So what are we going to do with a brother fail or a sister fail into fault? In this case, he used the word, if any man be overtaken in a fault or in a sin issue or in a offense, what do we do? Are we going to make a phone call and tell everybody else, listen, look how bad he is? Or look how bad she is. We're going to announce it to everyone, and that we can, everybody going to be always heading against that particular person and shoving him or her away from the presence of the Lord, driving them even further. Is that the way to behave when somebody fell into sin? No, the opposite is. The opposite is, notice then, we want to help one another and to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to do it in a way that we can help our brothers and sisters who may fall into any kind of a situation. And you notice who is going to do it? Not everyone. Because notice he says here, ye which are spiritual. Ye which are spiritual. In other words, it's not a person or a brother or a sister that are not spiritual minded, very carnal, very, you might say, unspiritual brothers or sisters like we see it in the time of the Corinthians, and like we can be ourselves in our life. When we are carnal and we are not spiritual minded and we are walking in the flesh, how can we help anybody? In fact, if you don't mind, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a moment. There the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says to them, notice, he's very clearly saying to them, the natural man, verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. In other words, the natural man is the unbeliever. He or she are natural, they are not born again, they do not receive the things of the Spirit. But then notice in verse 15, he distinguished and he said, but he that is spiritual judges all things. In other words, the spiritual here is the one who became a believer and now he can examine, he can judge all things. But in 1 Corinthians 3, just a few verses further, he's speaking about those believers who have the Holy Spirit of God, but they are very carnal. Notice it says in chapter 3 verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, or fleshy, always occupied only with the flesh, not spiritual minded. And you know, brothers and sisters, the proof is in the pudding, because the Corinthians were very carnal. Oh, they were born again, they had the Holy Spirit of God indwelt in them, they were believers, but they had this issue as well. They were biting one another, they were fighting with one another, and apparently the apostle had to help them, and he says, listen, brethren, if any man be overtaken with a fault, ye which are not carnal, but spiritual, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, how do we know if we are spiritual minded? You check yourself, and I need to check myself. How do you and I relate to one another? How we relate when a brother or sister fail? See, the legalist said, I'm better, I haven't done it. The spiritual-minded brother or sister said, woe is me. I'm just as capable to fall into this situation. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. That is what the spiritual-minded brother says or sister says. Lord, I need your grace. I'm not better than my brother and my sister. Lord, help me to restore my brother and restore my sister. We have to check our hearts. We have to ask ourselves the question, I will never do so. I will never fall. I'm not capable like we do. I am better. I'm more capable than them. We find out very quickly that this is one of the signs that show that we are very carnal. And you notice how the Apostle Paul is saying, brethren, if any man be overtaken in the fall, ye which are spiritual. And you see, you and I, brothers and sisters, need to be in the business of not only preaching the gospel and sharing with the lost the message of the grace of God, but we need also to build each other up instead of tearing things down. Sadly, we end up many times to do the work of the enemy, destroying the work of the Lord. Because I want to get my way. Because I know better. Instead of taking wrong, willing to take wrong, to take the second place, to be humble before the Lord. Instead of being humble and useful before the Lord, we ending up having this element of pride. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, consider yourself. You will see. Your day will come. You will need somebody to come to give you a word of encouragement. And you will see, if you don't have this right attitude, you better don't try to help somebody else. But you watch it if you are condemning and judging and putting down somebody else, and instead of helping them to be restored, adding to their problems. You will see, because your day will come. God one day will have to deal with you, and you will see that when you're going to be tested, you will see that you fail as well. And when you will need somebody to come to lift you up, and he or she will not be there to help you, you will see how you feel when this situation comes. Notice the beautiful word, restore such a one. You know, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is in the business of restoring. Because all of us fail. If the Lord will judge us on the basis of our merit, where would we be? We always seem to fail. We always seem to stumble. But thank God that He has that ministry of restoration, and He wants us to have such a way. So with such a wonderful truth, beloved brothers and sisters, in spirit, restore such a one with a spirit of meekness. The Hebrew word for meekness is anava. You know, there's one that was anav. His name was Moshe, Moses. He was the meekest man on earth. Read of him in Numbers chapter 12. Moshe, whom God used Moses to give the law to our own people of Israel. And under the law, he could condemn his own sister who accused him. Said, who are you? Who made you leader? And not only you are the one whom God used to lead Israel. And you know what Moses said? He cried to the Lord on behalf of his sister, who accused him. And God plagued her with leprosy and kept her out of the camp because of the sin of pride that she had. And yet Moses, the meekest man on earth, he's falling on his face before the Lord, and he says, heal her, God. I don't want to see her like that. And yet God said, do you think that she deserved to be punished and to be put out of the camp even for a few days? And God indeed have caused Miriam to have this leprosy, and she was kept out of the camp. I mean, and Moses is a fascinating man who gave the law, was used by God to give the law to our own forefathers, the people of Israel, and yet he was so broken before God he could see that he must be anav. He must be, as it says here, meek. Meek men. We read in Numbers chapter 12 in verse 13, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit at her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? And Miriam was leprous for 7 days. But Moses was not proud and happy. Oh, I'm so happy that she became leprous. Moses was so broken before the Lord that he wanted to see her healing. Can you imagine if we would have such an attitude like this in our lives as believers, brothers and sisters? Had we have such an attitude like Moshe, we would be far advanced in our spiritual progress. But not only Moses, the meekest man on earth, we read in scripture that Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 11, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me, Yeshua said. The Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah. Learn of me because I can set an example for you. I am meek and lowly in heart and ye shall find rest to your souls. And so if we are going to be a blessing to God's people and walk in the Spirit and not after the lust of the flesh, we are going to be able to do so. We got to learn to do so in a proper way, and we are to do it in meekness, considering ourselves, lest thou should also be tested. How wonderful to see the encouragement of the apostle here, Paul, as he is encouraging the Galatians. He continue now. Let's move along here in this interesting chapter 6. In chapter 6, verse 2, we find out that the spiritual believer will fulfill, and you know, here it is, brothers and sisters. The spiritual believer will fulfill the law, not the law of Moses now, but the law of Christ, the law of Mashiach, the law of Messiah. Notice that. Sometimes we think, or at least people say to us, wow, you tell us that we are not under the law, so we will be lawless, right? You don't find it anywhere in Scripture. Even the believer today, who have come to know the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, who is no longer under the law, we are under the law of the Messiah. The law of the Messiah, notice what he says in verse 2, he says, I didn't write it. The Bible says it. It is the Hebrew scripture, the Tanakh and the Brit HaChadashah teaches this. It's the Apostle Paul who received revelation from the Lord. And if we don't believe this, and we reject this, we might as well reject the whole Bible. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill Torat HaMashiach, the law of the Messiah. The law of the Messiah is being fulfilled by the conduct of the believer when he or she are walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And again, look at the chart, and I want to remind you, when the believer is walking under the power of the new nature and not the old nature, they are fulfilling the law of the Mashiach, the law of Christ, the law of Yeshua, the Messiah. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Yeshua the Messiah is God, the Son, who became a man. Yeshua the Messiah is the only man that fulfilled the law which He had given to our forefathers, the nation, the people of Israel. And now you and I as believers, because we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling in us, having a new nature that can be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, if we will walk in such a way, we will be able to fulfill the law of the Messiah. And how interesting it is, here it is, immensely interesting, because what, immediately you ask the question, what is the law of the Messiah? Turn with me, Luke 6, verse 27, for a moment. Do you notice what Yeshua said already before he died on a Roman cross? We find out Yeshua is speaking there to his disciples. In verse 27, we read these words, and just the scripture, Luke 6 and verse 27, we read, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smitten thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that take away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men would do unto you, do ye also unto them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." The law of Christ, the law of the Messiah, the law of Yeshua himself, it is amazing to see what the Lord Yeshua said and instructed the disciples before he died on that Roman cross. And he gave us exactly what God wanted from the people of Israel, internal, to submit to the law of God internally. The problem was is that they thought that by receiving the law and seeking externally to submit to it, and nothing in the heart, that they could receive forgiveness of sins. And that's the problem that they had, and many have today. Salvation came because of faith in Yeshua the Messiah, who fulfilled the law. Now we have the divine nature and the Holy Spirit of God to help us, and we are responsible to live in the light of this new information that we have today. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we find out that the church fails so much deeper under grace than Israel fail under the law. And therefore, their responsibility is not to accuse Israel, but to search our hearts and to say, "Where am I here?" And that's why Paul says, "Bear ye one another burden, and so ye shall fulfill the law of Mashiach, the law of Christ." And he continues now, notice that as we are moving along in verses 3 and 4, Paul warns the brothers and sisters in Galatia, each one of them individually, not to think of themselves highly. Because the moment they elevated themselves and they think of themselves highly, they're really not used by the Lord. They're not broken before Him in order to be used among the people of God. And notice what He said in verses 3 and 4, "If a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceive himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." You see how their inclination, he's speaking to the Galatians, they were born again, they were believers, they were saved. They were justified. And yet, he's saying to them, listen, brethren, if any man think of himself highly or something of yourself being proud and arrogant, you have to be cautious because really, you deceive yourself. You deceive yourself. You know, one of the things that we are struggling with, believers, because we still have this old sin nature, we are struggling with the thought of thinking of ourselves highly. Oh, I'm pretty good, right? And what happened? We end up to deceive ourselves. Scripture is so clear about the danger of God's people to be deceived. We are not only deceiving ourselves, we are liable to be deceived by Satan. The world has many that have been sent to this world to deceive the people of God. We are constantly under the danger of being deceived. And so he says, if any man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceive himself. This is verse 3. Very interesting verse. Here it is in verse 3. And I would like you for a moment, I made some notes here for myself. If you don't mind, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Very interesting verse. 1 John 1 verse 8 says in verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, notice that word, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. You see, we, though forgiven, though have a new nature, though are justified, but because we are here in this world, yet in heaven, and still have this old nature, and we think that, no, I haven't sinned, I haven't done anything wrong, we are liable to deceive ourselves. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying to the brothers and sisters. Now, since you are in 1 John, go to 2 John, chapter 1, 2 John, and chapter 1, and notice not only that we are liable to deceive ourselves, in 2 John chapter 1, and there we find out, well, 2 John has actually only one chapter, but notice what it says in verse 7. He says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Yeshua HaMashiach is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist or counterfeit Mashiach, false Messiah, or against the Mashiach, against the Messiah. Not only that we are liable to deceive ourselves because of our own sin nature, 1 John chapter 1, but also there are so many deceivers that enter into this world that are deceiving the people of God. And that's why we have to be careful when we, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4, if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceived himself. Now notice this, one more verse I want to read in Revelation chapter 12. There John is saying, receiving the revelation from Yeshua the Messiah. Notice what he says about Satan in Revelation chapter 12. And I'm reading verse 9. Revelation 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, listen to this, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He is now speaking of Satan as a deceiver. You see, brothers and sisters, the challenges that we are facing today, we are not only liable to deceive ourselves. We are not only being deceived or liable to be deceived by the world, the deceivers around the world. And we are also capable or liable to be deceived by Satan. And that's why we constantly are exhorted to be cautious and careful and to walk in the Spirit and not in, to walk in the lust of the flesh and not to think of ourselves as we can trust ourselves. No, because we can't even trust ourselves. We can deceive ourselves. Satan deceives man. Deceivers in the world deceive man. And that's why Paul is saying, listen, if any man think himself, if any brother in your midst, Galatians, in any sister is in your midst, Galatians, he said, think himself to be something when he is or she is nothing, he or she deceives herself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he or she, in that case, we can add to it, have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Apparently, those ones that came from Jerusalem and sought to influence Goyim, the believers from among the Goyim, to tell them, you must be circumcised and you must keep the law of Moses, otherwise you are not really saved. They thought, oh, we have kept the law of Moses. We are circumcised. And today, in the last days of the church age, others say that we are baptized. We have gone through this kind of a ceremony or this another kind of a ceremony. And we are not like them. And Paul says, no, 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 he says, if any man think of himself something, you better be careful, because you are really in the danger of deceiving yourself. But then he says in verse 4, said, let a man, notice verse 4, let every man prove or examine his own, or pay attention to his own work. What is he? What is she doing? How are they behaving? And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You know what's happened? I remember years ago when we used to go on the streets and hand out tracts. And every one of us came at the end of the time, and every one of us showed how many people we led to the Lord. So he says, well, I've led 12 this afternoon. Look at the list. The other one says, I've led 7. Look at my list. As if it was us who have led someone to accept Yeshua, the Messiah. We might be used as vessels, but we have to be extremely careful not to exalt oneself. The same thing can be in many other areas. I have done that. And I have accomplished this. And I have achieved this kind of work and so on. Paul is saying, every man prove or examine or pay attention to your own work. How do you do the work of the Lord? How do you live your lives? He's really searching all of our hearts. He's challenging the Galatians. He's challenging us. And he's telling us, you better examine how you are conducting yourself. And if you have done well, he's saying to them, he says, you will receive a rejoicing for yourself and not an account of someone else. That's what the Apostle Paul is charging Galatians to remember. Now, brothers and sisters, listen. One day, we are going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to have to give an account, like the Galatians, as how we behaved. How was our work here in this world? Did we follow the fruit of the Spirit? And again, I want you to look at this, or did we follow the works of the flesh? If you look at the charts that we have, you notice that either, first of all, you'll see the works of the flesh, you know, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and so on. All these works of the flesh. How did we conduct ourselves? And we can say many times, Lord, I've blown it. On the other hand, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, is it we brought love, joy, peace, shalom, long-suffering, meekness, goodness, faith, gentleness, temperance? How did I work? In other words, did I do what I did for the glory of God? Or did I do it in order to think myself or to get myself some sort of points instead of being humble before the Lord and acknowledging that everything that we have accomplished, we have done it in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in the power of the flesh. So Paul was very practical. And specifically, when he speaks here to the Galatians in chapter 6, and he wants them to see that, perhaps somebody who have told them that they had to be circumcised, and some of them got circumcised, so that person who got them circumcised said, well, I got now 20 that are circumcised. Wow, I've done so. Or maybe if we got some people baptized, or tvilah, litavet, said, wow, look at the list that I have. I got so many here. I did it. Rather than to do it, allowing that the Lord will be the one that will be receiving the glory, and not to think of oneself above what we have to think, and not to deceive ourselves. And now notice in verse 5, we're going to move along, and now in verse 5 he says, listen, everyone, notice, for every man shall bear his own burden. Every man shall burn his own burden. This verse is a potion in the Greek. In Hebrew it says masa in Hebrew. Now, years ago, somebody says, listen, there is a contradiction in the Bible, because in verse 2 it says, bear ye one another's burden. And then in verse 5 it says, every man should bear his own burden. You see, there is a contradiction in the Bible, one might say. But do you think the Apostle Paul didn't know what he says? He knew very well what you and I have in English, burden. In the Greek, it's a completely different word. The first one is baros, which apply to the failure and the heaviness that people go through in their life. That's why we are called to bear one another burdens and bear one another's heaviness and failure and help them to be lifted up. But then in verse 5 is bear your own burdens. There is a different word in portion, and really simply it means bear your responsibility. Bear your obligation. Don't demand it from someone else. Two different words in the Greek gives us in the English the same name, burden. The Hebrew word is masai, something that we carry. But the one we carry for another, the other one, we carry our own responsibility. You know, sometimes I'm fascinated how people don't have realization that they are also responsible. You know, brothers and sisters, we are all responsible in the things of the Lord. You and I are all responsible. We cannot neglect the responsibility that we have, even in local fellowship, in local assembly. How do you think, just to be practical, how do you think this so-called Holy Scriptures and Israel ministry runs? Is it a one-man show? If it's a one-man show, it's wrong. Every one of us has some responsibility. That's why oftentimes we request help. Because the work of the Lord is not one-man show. Everyone has to be responsible in one way or another to help to build. We have so many broken homes and broken assemblies, broken churches and broken fellowship. Unless we work together and take some burden on our own shoulder, we will never be able to enjoy the blessing of serving the Lord and to receive from the Lord that statement, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's why the bear ye one another burden means you help others when they are in trouble. And then every man should bear his own burden. Take responsibility. Fulfill your obligation. Rather than to blame somebody else, or he doesn't do it, or she doesn't do it. You see how the Apostle Paul is very practical? See, faith in the Messiah give us salvation. But to be walking here in this world to fulfill the requirement of the Lord here on earth means that we have to do something in response to the things of the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing. The first burden is baros, heaviness and problems of others. The second burden is partion, which speaks about personal obligation and responsibility that every one of us have. For every man shall, ought to, need to bear his own responsibility and take your responsibility for the glory of God and for the blessing of the brethren and do your responsibility, fulfill that, Paul is saying to the Galatian brothers and sisters. So here we are, we covered the first five verses of Galatians chapter 6, the need to bear one another burden, and Paul is encouraging the Galatians to do so. And we encourage each other to do so as well. But now let's move along for verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Five more verses. In this second portion, there is a need not only of bearing one another burden, but also sharing with one another the blessing, both physical, material, and spiritual blessing that we need to share with one another. And you notice how he began here? This is a passage that we often, those of us that are in full-time ministry, don't like to talk about it. But you notice what Apostle Paul is saying here in verse 6? He says, let him that is taught in the word communicate or share unto him that teaches in all good things. Now, many times because of the responsibility, because we don't like to talk about the necessity of the brothers and sisters to support the ministry of the Lord, we have to realize that the Lord's work is not going to be sustained on air. Just the same like a person go to a job on Monday morning and earn his living. What do you think the spiritual leaders and the Bible teachers are doing? They do the same thing, except that instead of going to work to earn living, they earn it through their ministry. And so the Apostle Paul is amazing that he's including here the practical necessity of the people of God to support the ministry of the Lord. And you notice what he says. He says, listen, let him that is taught in the word take the responsibility and communicate and share unto him that teaches in all good things. In other words, there is a responsibility of the people of God to support the work of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, listen. No missionary can go to the mission field and get there without people supporting him or her on the mission field. No one who is occupied with the things of the Lord in teaching, in ministry, in pastoring, in any ministry can support himself unless he has a big business somewhere. So Paul is saying to the brethren, listen, you know, you have responsibility, he's saying to the brethren in Galatia. He says, listen, him that is taught in the word, communicate unto him that teaches. There is their responsibility. Years ago, I was uncomfortable to read texts like that, lest the people would say, oh, here we go again. These preachers always ask for money. Well, I could jump to verse 7 if you want, and I could forget verse 6. But that's what is written here. We happen to fall of verse 6. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. This is very interesting, because Paul was very practical. He wanted the brothers and sisters to understand that they have responsibility to minister to those who are teaching them and ministering them and pastoring them and visiting with them, spending the time with them. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feed a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or sayest not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moshe, Betorat Moshe, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for his own? Verse 10 says, or says he eat altogether for our sake. For our sake, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things, Paul is saying? Look at verse 15. He continued there, very interesting, because in verse 14, even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now I tell you, it's not nice to say it, better to jump over these kind of verses, because the moment you start to talk about support and money, we always feel uncomfortable about it. But in reality, the servants of the Lord need to be supported by God's people. And that is a principle. By the way, it's not only principle today in the church in the assembly age. You know what God said to Israel in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and chapter 14, don't forget the responsibility that you have to the Levim, to the Levites. They are serving in the temple. You have a responsibility to meet their need. They didn't have a portion in Israel in that sense of the land, but they were serving in the temple. And the rest of the tribes of Israel were responsible to provide for the Levim. The Levim didn't need to run after them. They needed to take this responsibility and to do so. And thank God. I mean, I'm sometimes fascinated. People that never sat under my teaching, supported me over the years, never heard me except sometime through the internet or sometime through another way. It is amazing how the Lord provides. He doesn't force anybody to do so. He provides, He finds a way to provide. It's very humbling when you really think about it. People who never see you. You never go to their meetings to preach and teach them. And yet the Lord laid on their hearts to support you and to help in the ministry of the gospel. I often think about the cost that we have to pay for the radio. But the radio programs are running and every month we have to pay a bill. And the radio station doesn't say, Brother Gideon, trust in the Lord. Holy Scripture and Israel, don't worry, we will pay your rates. No, they send a bill. And the bill has to be paid. And yet the Lord provides beyond what we have imagined. It's really humbled my heart when I really think about it. I told you this years ago that I was on a train traveling to Toronto from St. Catharines. And I sat down on the train, I read my Bible. And oh, this man that never knew me before saw me reading my Bible. Apparently, he was also a Bible teacher, a missionary. And he saw me reading my Bible. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to Toronto. I have a Bible class to teach. Then we share a little bit. I thought, I'm a Jewish believer in Yeshua the Messiah. The Lord saved me, and I'm so thankful for that. And he said, thank God. He loved the Jewish people, loved Israel, wanted to support Israel. So when he left the train, after a few stations, I'm putting my Bible back in my case. And I find an envelope with a little bit of money there for the work of the Lord. And I was just saying to myself, Lord, I don't know the man. I don't know who he is. But one thing, it was moving my heart how the Lord provide. Far beyond what we even ask or think. So Paul is teaching the brothers and sisters, listen, if you are going to be benefiting from teaching, well, you have some responsibility. Communicate unto him to teach you You're being taught, communicate. In other words, there is a responsibility. And he continues, and in verse 7 he says, listen, don't you think that you deceive God? Look what he said in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, listen, he's saying, listen, you and I can never mock God. We might deceive ourselves. But he says, you know, it's beautiful the way he said it. Listen, don't be deceived, brethren, brothers and sisters of the Galatians. He says, listen, God is not mocked. Everything that you sow in your life, you're going to end up to reap it. He's saying to us, he's saying to the Galatians. In other words, whenever we do things for God, whenever we do things that are of the new nature, of the divine nature, we eventually going to reap. And we're going to reap blessing. We're going to reap joy. We're going to reap rewards from the Lord. But whatever we do in the flesh, whatever we do, whatever we sow in our life, that which is dishonoring unto the Lord, we eventually going to reap the consequences of our wrong doing. And we know that, brothers and sisters. Don't we know how many a time we should have done something and we haven't done it? And we made the wrong decision. We failed, we stumbled, we sinned. And then later on we find out, oh boy, how I failed the Lord. And later on it catch us. And we look back and we said, boy, I see the result. I shouldn't have done what I've done. I shouldn't have gone in that direction. I should have behaved the way I behaved. I should have honored the Lord. I should have waited on the Lord. He says, listen, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. There is a principle. There is a principle, there is a law. The law that is whatever we sow, we are going to reap. Whatever we sow. He continues, notice in verse 8, he's linking verse 8 with this. He says, really, there's two kind of results which we can expect from our sowing. He says, he that soweth to his flesh, okay, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. You see what he said? Really, there are only two results. If during our lifetime as believers now, of course it's applied to everyone in the world, but for believers in Galatia and for us today, there's a principle. Every time we sow to the flesh, from the flesh we're going to reap corruption. Every time we sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit, we are going to reap life everlasting. Whenever we sow things that are for the flesh, we will get flesh. Flesh bring flesh. Whenever we sow to the Spirit, we will reap a life everlasting, Paul is saying. Notice, the flesh reap corruption, the Spirit reap life. The flesh bring sadness and sorrow, the Spirit is the new nature, bring blessing and shalom to the people of God. And now he's closing this portion in verses 9 and verse 10, and he's telling, giving an assurance to the Galatians. He's encouraging them, the Galatians in verse 9, he's telling them in that verse, he says, let us, that is you, Galatians and I, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. Let us, even though we sometimes get discouraged, and sometimes there are things happening in our life which cause us to be, you might say, disappointed and sad, and maybe things are not so easy. Maybe we have problems that arises in our life. He says, listen, brethren, he's saying to them, listen, don't be discouraged. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Do well. Continue to sow seed to the spirit rather than to the flesh, and you will see that in due season, sooner or later, you are going to reap blessing. You are going eventually to be rewarded if you just continue on and sow to the spirit. And notice finally in verse 10, and I'm going to conclude with verse 10. And we have, he said, as we have wherefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In other words, brothers and sisters of the Galatians, let us make sure that every opportunity that we have to do good, let us do good to all men, unbelievers and believers, relative and non-relative. But he says here, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. In other words, don't forget to take care of one another. Make sure that you are being used by the Lord to be builders, so you will be able to edify the people of God. Don't neglect to use every opportunity to do good to all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of God. And so, brothers and sisters, Paul, in Galatians 6, verses 1 to 10, charging the Galatians to take care of one another, remembering that it is essential to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. May the Lord help us to do so day by day as we move along in our life here on earth. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.